Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, we are back. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the man who's staying away from Twitter because I need to keep my job to feed my kids, and Sean Black. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, the one, the only, and the person who refused to get social media is...
the one and only Sean Black in the building once again.
Yes, and she came back because she missed us so much. Well, she missed being tortured by me and dealing with Sean Black. We have the lovely Keisha.
Hey, you guys. Shit.
Hello?
Yeah. Keisha, are you there?
Also,
yeah,
you also
can you hear me?
Barely.
Yeah.
You're in and out.
Oh, okay. Follow me.
You sound like...
me.
You sound like you're in the closet now.
Hiding. What
can
a segue. My goodness. What a segue for the first topic. But it is what it is.
What?
Tell me if I sound like I'm coming out.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Do we need to have that Diana Ross song playing over?
Hey.
Yeah, we don't have enough money to pay for the rights to that, so I'll keep it.
Is that right? I don't have the money for that. This is a poor show. This is a broke show, okay? We do this for free, okay?
Yes. This is no frills family entertainment.
All right, ladies, I can't even talk now. Ladies and gentlemen, the number to call is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. So this T-shirt's coming out the closet, and Sean cannot get a Twitter account. I'm gonna piss people off all by myself tonight. Let's go. Well, first I want to start off with breaking news that happened earlier today with the Supreme Court decision. It was like a good decision, but it might have some turmoil on it. Sean, what happened with the Supreme Court quickly?
Well, it was a case that we talked about a little over a year ago about a baker by the name of Jack Phillips who decided he did not want to bake a wedding cake for a gay couple because it was against his religious beliefs. Well, that was taken to the Supreme Court, and the Colorado Rights Commission basically said that they showed hostility towards the baker based on his religious beliefs, and in the ruling... in his favor was 7-2, so it was a narrow win that eventually helped out the actual case that because of religious quote unquote religious tolerance that if you own a business or in this case a bakery because you, if you object to a particular whatever it is. You can refuse services to somebody based on religious preference, religious tolerance, or religious belief. That's the argument there. A lot of people are going to be upset over that because that spits in the face of the First Amendment.
Well, okay. I remember we discussed this last year or 2 years ago.
Actually,
and,
it was a year ago in June, so it's been a little over a year.
Oh, wow. Okay. And I remember I said... you don't like the business, take your business somewhere else. And I still stand by that decision, but I know times have changed. Keisha, were you surprised when you heard about this decision? And also, do you see any future repercussions about this decision? Like, do you see other businesses try to take advantage of this decision?
I see. I'll start with how I feel about that decision. I knew that was actually going to happen because it is kind of like and he should all have the freedom.
You're still breaking up.
Starting to break up again.
Can you hear me?
No, we can't hear you. Sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
Go to the bathroom.
Okay, now we can hear you now.
Can you? Hello?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. So I said, I feel like, I knew that was going to happen. It is freedom of speech, and it's also freedom of his choice because he is running a business as far as that goes. I do see other businesses now following it. They might even put in, like, a law to it, I think. being that it was sent to the Supreme Court and, you know, they ruled on it. So I can see, like, a certain business law now being implemented towards that. But I do, I mean, I don't agree with it because it is kind of a form of discrimination, but why shouldn't he also have his choice? He said he doesn't want to do it. If that was me and, you know, I was with my gay partner, let's say, and we went to check out these cakes and he told me he can't do it just for whatever reason, I would just go somewhere else and get it. I wouldn't even want him to do it. You know what I mean? So his attention wasn't there. Okay, I can take it somewhere else.
Sean Black?
This has always...
Hold on, Sean Black. While Sean Black's talking, my advice, Tisha, try and find another spot where you're still breaking up a little bit, if you don't mind.
Okay. Because I can hear you guys clearly. I mean, how you can hear me.
No, we can't really hear you. I'm sorry. Yeah, we like to hear your mouth today. Well, Sean does, but I don't want to talk about it. But go ahead, Sean Black.
It's probably my phone. Hold on, if not, I'll hang up and call you guys and tell me how you hear me now.
Okay.
Tell me you hear me now, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to hang up real quick and then call y'all back.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah,
go ahead, Sean Black.
While we deal with her technical difficulties. This has always been about, and this is something that a lot of people don't really want to talk about in general, but this is one of those things that we've always been talking about. This administration, talking about the Trump administration, and people that feel the as they call them, the religious right, the ones that are governing with the Bible in their hands, this is a victory for them in the sense that the Bible has been used by a lot of politicians as an impetus or a jumping-off point to sometimes discriminate against other people and using the Bible as the I guess you can call it the guard book, the guideline to do it. This is something that a lot of the conservatives of the conservative persuasion that vote a particular way, that think a certain way, have certain values, they don't feel that certain things that happen, certain freedoms should be there for anybody that doesn't think the same way that they do. And I think in the eyes of a lot of gay people, a lot of lesbian, transgendered, this is kind of like a civil rights smack in the face. Like you said, Hot Rod, as you said before, if you don't like the business's policies, you always can go somewhere else and take your money and your business to another place. The issue below that, though, is that even if you do that, the problem is, what's to stop anyone else from using that excuse to say, because of my religious beliefs, I don't want to serve black people. Because of my religious beliefs, I don't want to serve Jewish people or Asian people or anyone else that they feel fits the narrative of the explanation that they give.
Okay, that's true. But like I'll be with Tisha, but the problem with that, number one, this is the whole policy screwed up. But if I come up to you, Sean Black, and you don't like to serve us because we're black, why should I continue to give you business if you're going to give me hell for what I want from you? You understand? If you have the right, so not to serve me, but I'm fighting with you to make me a cake, but you don't want to make me a cake, who would know that you want to put rat poison into my cake as retaliation? I'm afraid of retaliation overall. So if you really don't want my business, why should I go through the stress and through the effort of giving you my business? And like, as we say all the time, if you cannot find the business, make your own business, you know? So there's no winners in this overall, I think. It's just another problem to add onto the list that probably won't go away.
And this will also add to the angst that a lot of people have that are either gay, lesbian, transgendered, or anyone else that feels they are in a label or in a minority that thinks that because this is another strike against people using their prejudices or their own personal religious beliefs to discriminate against someone else, but putting it under the guise of a business. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a personal religious belief. As long as you don't use that per se to discriminate against or to harm another person. And if you can do that and not harm someone, then there's nothing wrong with that.
okay, what happened to a gay bar? The one no heterosexuals allowed in there. Is there anything wrong with that?
And that is what you just said. A gay bar where there is an actual... It's almost like what they used to do in the 60s with the white bar. There was the no colored served. No black people were allowed. And the differences there was that there were laws on the books that basically kept black people from making their own businesses so that they had a place to go. And if they did have a place to go, then a lot of times there were a lot of things that brought those businesses down or were destroyed by other people. The difference here is if you go to a, like I said, a gay bar, because a lot of places, there are some people, like you said, that don't believe in the lifestyle that gays, lesbians, transgendered are into. So they want to keep them out of their business, per se. They can create a business for themselves. They have a market for a particular clientele. They can do that. If they don't want to patronize that particular clientele and they broadcast it out there, then look, this is just a gay bar. If it's just gay only, if you want to come in, the differences here is if you are straight or you are want to come in and patronize our business, we have no problem with that. If they on the outside said they don't want it, then they put that out there in front and say, we would not like, you know, you can go to another, and then, like you said, they can take their business elsewhere.
Tisha?
It also goes into now you're going to be discriminating. So then we should have black-only, you know, restaurants and things like that. It's kind of being discriminated. I just think this guy, as a baker, he personally didn't feel comfortable, okay, because of his religious belief. It's no different than, let's say, somebody else at the bar doesn't want to serve me because I'm gay. So can I get another bartender, please? Because I wouldn't want that person making my drinks. And you shouldn't be working there if you are going to be discriminating. Don't we have laws and things like that within employment?
Yeah.
But this was guy as a personal baker. I think it was his own company, wasn't it?
Yes, I believe.
Like
so.
His own small business. So,
yes.
You know, I think it may be different laws for small businesses, too. That's another thing.
And I met the guy last year. And believe it or not, I could be wrong overall. Nice guy. He does like Tisha said, he didn't feel comfortable. He didn't say, when I serve your slice of cake, I don't believe in the ceremony of marriage between two men. And that's all. And he's not the only person that thinks that way. Millions of people think that way. And unfortunately, it was the gay people that brought this up to the higher court. He didn't want no part of this. But you know what? If you believe this is what you believe in, you stand by it, right? And that's what he did. And he won. So, unfortunately, there will be more trouble to come. That's the way I see it. And Sean, you will not be, I will not marry you because you're too broke for me. But, well, I don't know what I'm saying. Well, talk about double standard. Last week, Tisha, Sean Black, K Dog, and I, we'll all talk about Roseanne Barr and all the chaos that's been going on with the tweet. And, excuse me. And then, Samantha Bee, a talk show host, was going on air talking about Ivana Trump and call her a reckless cunt on the air. And everybody went haywire. Yeah. Everybody went haywire about that. Now, do you see a comparison between a Roseanne Barr tweet about referring someone to an ape compared to a white woman calling the daughter of the President of the United States a cunt? I mean, is this the same thing, or is it two completely different concepts?
Ooh, that's
you know, this is
language.
Something. It's an insulting language, but I'm just thinking, back in the day, remember when Archie Bunker would just say nigger and stuff like that on TV?
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard cunt so many times, people say it. I mean, I don't think that's the same exact thing as what Roseanne Barr did. That's two different things. It was disrespectful for her to say it and call her a cunt, but I'm thinking, haven't her father said even worse things, and he tweets worse things than cunt on a day-to-day basis? So what's wrong with that?
Yeah, but, before I go to Sean, like someone told me earlier, one of my coworkers, and at work, I refuse to argue with anyone about politics because it was a work. Oh, but there's no way to talk about the president's daughter that way on national TV. And I thought to myself, you talk about the same guy who called in a private meeting Haiti, Haiti's a bunch of shitholes or something like that.
Yes.
Remember when he called Mexican rapists, murderers, and stuff like that? And God
don't forget he threw the paper towel at the Puerto Ricans as if they were dogs in a crisis that they were going to.
And
he insults
like,
at the Gulf at the Gold Star families.
Yeah,
gotta remember that.
And when he talked about Senator John McCain, which I know personally, great man. And the list of insults has gone on and on.
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah, we can go on.
Well, everybody's going haywire about a C word that was said on national TV. Now, Sean, do you see this as a comparison or just overreaction overall, or just that people just need to get their stuff together?
It's not an overreaction. There's no comparison. There's no false equivalencies. What this is the Trump administration, who we have talked about ad nauseum about having lots of racially biased talk and ideas that have been brought out, and Roseanne, who basically perpetuated this whole deal because she now came out as a racist with a lot of the racist comments that she stated. Samantha Bee, who is Canadian, basically did a profane insult. Her point that she made before the insult has been completely lost in this entire deal. Because what happened was Samantha Bee was talking about how it's tone deaf for the daughter of the President of the United States to show a picture of her and her son, although it was a cute picture, to show them, oh, it's a great day to be a mom, exactly, et cetera, when she is part of an administration that is supporting families being ripped apart for this immigration stuff with ICE coming to a lot of places and taking families and ripping them apart. And that was the issue. But nobody talked about the issue prior to that. And this is what this is. It's a false equivalency and deflection from the sense that we know that Roseanne Barr is a racist. See it at Twitter. She lost her mind afterwards, and she just went on a Twitter tirade. Samantha Bee, although she made the comment which was absolutely over the top, if she never used that insult at the end, you would not be hearing a thing about this from the administration, from the Speaker of the House, or anyone else for that matter. And what has happened is, on top of that, one of those things that you're not supposed to do is the same thing that's happened before with President Trump talking about the NFL players, but they should be fired if they don't do such and such and such. They're now trying to tell a network that, based on a couple of comments that were stated by somebody who did a scripted show, that she should be fired for her comments. And then ask for, you know, this grand apology and you shouldn't do such and such and such and such. This is ridiculous from that sense. You can't, there's no equivalency at all about this, at all. Not at all.
Okay, before I go to the other caller, I know who he is. Thank you for calling in. But one thing I do want to say about the Samantha Bee thing, I'm not defending her completely, but people overall fail to realize that what Roseanne did was something she did on her own, right?
Via
Twitter. What Samantha Bee is, like I told people, Samantha Bee's show wasn't live. It probably went through some scripts, went through some writers, went through the producers, went through the the EP. Basically, it was a show thing. It was a network thing. If they were going to attack, they should attack the network for allowing this to go through and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be rude to get on the air.
Exactly. So if it was live, it could have been bleep. But at the same time, it wasn't bleep, so what Samantha B said was wrong, but it was still approved. So everybody had to take a fall. And at the same time, what Samantha said was out of outrage. When you get upset with someone or when somebody do something, you do say things out of context compared to what Roseanne Barr did. She just attacked someone for God knows whatever reason. You're not like I said, you're not defending Samantha Bee, but you understand why she says those things overall.
There's a difference between speaking your point out of anger and using an angry epithet and speaking out of a racist tone, which is what Roseanne did. And there is no equivalency there, no matter how many times people have tried to spin it. Now, should Samantha Bee have used those words? Probably not. It was used probably for the shock factor or just out of sheer frustration or whatever
and,
was the case.
And maybe that's why the network allowed it, for the shock value, for everybody to talk about it. So behind every concept like that, there's a story and there's no surprises. The reason why people love hip-hop, for the drama. Why does Sean and I love wrestling? Because of entertainment. Mm-hmm. It's always that shock value that makes people talk in the next day, and it's worked. But we're talking about it right now.
Exactly.
But you know, guys, if she had said something else like this stupid idiot, he would have still had something to say. It's the fact that, more the fact that they spoke about his daughter in that way. So it wouldn't have mattered if she said cunt or another word.
But, as a father, does he have the right to defend his daughter?
Sure he does, but other people also have the right to defend. Like I said, when he's on a day-to-day rant and calling people other words and talking about how stupid other people are, like, come on. Like, he's above the law. We're not going to go in with this guy.
No. All right, before I go to...
You know...
Here we go. Go ahead.
You know, what Trump said about those countries was true. They have shithole conditions.
And so does
America.
They do.
Let's not go
there.
Okay.
Well, you know, I've been all over Africa. Spent 8 years in Egypt, Ethiopia, West Africa. As I told you before, my wife is from Ghana. And there are shithole conditions in those countries. They tell you that themselves. Ain't saying it's the people. It's saying the conditions that exist. You have conditions with sanitation. You have conditions with sewage. And so on and so on and so on. And plus corruption.
Hey, let's get this off to the right start.
Now, not even 10 seconds. Already you ready to piss people off? Damn.
And, you know, you may mention, too, about the... let's take Richard Pryor's plaque off of Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Why?
Because look at the things that he said about whites. At one stand-up in Texas, he got ran off the stage.
Yeah, but
and then Malcolm X called whites devils, and Elijah Muhammad was messing with young girls, impregnating them, so on and so on and so on.
Yeah, but
let's go
clean out the whole house.
Hold on.
You say Richard Pryor, but that was comedy back then in the 70s, 80s. Now, we're not just Richard Pryor. All those comedies had jokes like that, racial jokes, bigger jokes, that were made funny. Or in a family, the Jeffersons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all that was.
Well, so
back
in the day, Donald Trump's grandfather
was
a member of the Klan. That was popular back then.
Yeah, and it's still Klan today. But back to last night, as I told last night on the Brother B show, you do not recall saying that slavery came to end too early, right? So do you believe today that slavery ended too early?
I don't recall saying that.
Yeah.
Slavery was legal. I'm happy. If what it was that caused me to be here today, which I had no control, I'm happy that the people that went through it survived. I'm happy it happened. And let me mention another thing. You was making mention about these mothers that's being separated from their kids. What, God dog it? Why would you do something illegal and bring your kids into it?
America was called the land of the free, and that's why everybody decided to come here. That's why everybody came.
Where in the Constitution does it say America is called the land of the free? I hear people saying America is a shithole, is a bastard country too.
Since I was born, America, the land of the free.
All right.
America is a land of laws.
All right, hold on. That's not what it says, but okay. I got to give it to Sean Black. Sean Black has something to say that I have to give the cable.
And I'd like to know where it says, where in the Constitution does it say that the United States is the land of the free?
Hold on. I have to give it to Sean Black, please. Sean?
Well, first of all, I disagree with the point of what you're saying. I hear where you're coming from, but I have to disagree. This is the thing that a lot of people have on the talking point with this. When I hear a lot of people talk about as far as immigrants and we need stronger immigration laws, one thing we will all agree about is that immigration laws need to have some kind of reform, some way for anybody to that wants to come to the United States to be able to have some way to be able to do it. But a majority of the people that are talking, using that talking point about immigration, as far as illegals have to learn how to speak English or learn how to do certain things here, I see a lot of people that have roots in other places that were non-black, Poland or from any countries like Israel or whatever that have come over to the United States, a good majority of people that came to the United States were second, third generation immigrants that didn't speak a lick of English, and they learned the language. Some of them didn't learn the language and were able to prosper here, were to have children here, create businesses here, and then have a lineage. So what I want to know is, why is it such, there's so much consternation involved with that, when what we're hearing now is that we had people coming from other countries that have basically made the United States what it is, and now all of a sudden it's something that should be shunned.
Well, I can give you an answer on that. You know, at one point in time, blacks in this country spoke eloquent French, remember? The French controlled the South at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why is because this is 2018, not 1502 or 1619. This is 2018. And society and government official, the popular national consensus is that we want immigration laws to be reformed and enforced. Look at Spain. Look at Poland. Look at Europe. Have you ever watched those videos of how these immigrants are even running across razor fences running into Spain? I don't want that here in the United States. This is 2018. Whatever happened back in during the time of the Romans, during the time of the settlers and so on, that happened then. But now we're talking about a whole different period in time. And people need to be vetted very well. Have you ever watched those videos, those movies, those clips, where you have these hordes of people, they're chanting death to America, burning the American flag, and so on and so on and so on. The next day, they're gone. Where did they go? Are they in line trying to get to the U.S.? I don't know. I'm afraid of it.
But why are you afraid if we have our own grown terrorists right here in this country right now that's killing our own children?
We're not talking about that. We're talking about immigrants. We need to deal with all of them, but I'm talking about these illegal immigrants. Why would we complicate the matter? We have people here who are United States citizens that's acting like damn fools. Yes, we know, but why complicate the matter and bring in some that are illegal?
Okay, excuse me. I have to give the K-Dog now. K-Dog, take it away.
I'm scared.
K-Dog, be nice.
No. But anyway.
I'm being nice.
Hey, what's up, Sean? What's up, T? And what's up, Hot Rod?
What's going on?
Listen, America is the melting pot. People could come here whatever way they want to. Yes, should there be laws to check our backgrounds? Of course there should be, because you don't want to have the wrong type of people coming here. But however, you already have the wrong type of people living here. People have a right to come here. This is America. The doors are open. Give me your tired, give me your poor. And that's all I got to say about that.
Well, the United States Constitution specifically gives the responsibility to the federal government to control immigration. There's nothing in the Constitution that says, give me your tired and your poor. Show me in the Constitution. Hell, show me in the Bible.
Can I just say something real quick about that?
Yeah, go ahead, Tisha.
Okay, so Francis Scott Key, they said in 1814, actually wrote that
right.
in a book, okay, it was a book based on the United States. Now, whatever the case is, after he wrote that, since 1931, they have been singing that in our national anthem, the same national anthem for which they banned the NFL from kneeling. So it is something that the United States actually stood on, this quote.
Okay.
If it was, if it was in your heartfelt national anthem.
Well, that's not true, because when I was a kid... Let me address that real quick. It's going to take but a second. When I was a kid, we didn't pledge allegiance to the flag. We didn't say the national anthem. Our mother sent notes to school, and we stood outside in the classroom. So we didn't go along with that. Blacks. I ain't talking about Japanese. I'm not talking about Germany. Blacks didn't go along with that. And as I said before, show me in the Constitution or show me in the Bible. The Bible specifically say, do not give your sons to their daughters and their daughters to your sons, their sons.
Okay,
come on.
But I just told you what it said with the same national anthem that they're debating that people cannot kneel or not kneel.
That's because
like,
it's a private employer.
Like
they got a right to dictate to their employees
what
not to do.
Hold on, everybody. I have another caller. I need to give this person a chance. 9094, you on the air?
Oh, hello. Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
I just wanted to say, in the Federalist Papers, number 2, it talks about the immigration and why the doors were open initially when the country had started. And that was to establish a country. And then once it was a melting pot, you know, lots of people had come over and they decided, okay, we're going to start this country now. We have enough people. Now we have to close the doors and have an immigration policy. And the immigration policy was put in place because they figured out that when you let people in without having time to get to know the country, to assimilate to the country in fashion of knowing its history and speaking the language, then it will just open the door for subfactions of the country to start growing here and there, because people from a certain culture or country that are accustomed to living a certain way want to bring that with them. And the more groups that you have that way, then they want to be living next to the same people that they're used to living, you know, neighbors wise. And so now you have, you know, little Italy and little Spain, and that divides the country. And so they had come up with an immigration plan, and it was actually 13 years that people had to wait. And during that 13 years, it was a process that they had to complete in order to, you know, be able to become a citizen. And part of that was learning English and reading English and being able to let go of the country you left behind to show that you will, you know, be...
She's absolutely right. To become a citizen, you got to denounce your... citizenship to the country you came from. And also, don't forget, in the 1930s, this country expelled hundreds of thousands of Mexicans that was even born here.
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, so basically you guys have a problem with Mexicans only in this country?
Said that's what happened in the 30s.
Yeah.
The '30s, but this is 2018 now, you know.
Well, hell, you were going back to the time of the Mayflower and giving these excuses of give us your poor and all that stuff. So can
what
I go back
hell?
To the '30s?
Oh my goodness. What's up?
Okay.
Man.
I'll get a point. Let's go. I'm ready. Well, you can call me what you want to. That's your right. That's why I wouldn't want a homosexual. Out openly homosexual teaching my kids. I respect them, but I don't accept them.
Why you have a problem having a homosexual teaching your kids?
I, as a parent, has the responsibility for the best interest of my child until they become adults.
Yeah, but what if your child themselves become homosexual? How will you feel about that?
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the teacher.
But what's the difference between a teacher and
being
a child becoming homosexual? What is the difference?
As
you
I said before,
ready.
I would not want an openly gay person teaching my children. I don't have anything I respect their rights to be that, but I don't accept it. And I have the ultimate responsibility over my child.
So earlier,
how about if they're not openly gay, and you would never know that they were gay unless they told you they were gay, but they were teaching your child? How would you handle that?
I said an openly gay person.
No, but I'm asking you now if they're not.
I have no comment on what
you
just said. I have no comment on that. I said an openly gay person.
So, all right. So, to the lady from 909.
Maybe I'll follow the Bible.
Okay, hold on. Follow your Bible. Back to the lady with 909. How do you feel about the Supreme Court decision about the baker?
I think it was a good decision. I think it could have went a little bit further myself. And I see how.
Hold on. Ask the lady. Let the lady talk, please.
I agree with the decision only because, and it would apply to everyone, when you open a private business, it's your business. You started it. You slaved over it. You've sweated over it. You've made it. It's successful. And now you get to do with it what you will within the laws and regulations of the state and federal government. And you should have the right to serve whoever you want. And the thing is because we have access to start our own businesses, if I don't like a particular business, I have the option to go someplace else or start my own business. And that goes for anybody. You know, I think that it's wrong to impose either special protections or special rights for groups of people, because we're supposed to be equal in opportunity and under the law. And yet to even think that somebody could come in and tell you how you can run your business and who you can serve, then it's not your business anymore. You know,
true, but don't you feel future repercussions of a black couple go to a white restaurant? I don't have to serve you because in my Bible, we're not allowed to serve black people, or vice versa, or Asians or Mexicans. Are you afraid
of
the future?
Well, that's a different argument you raised in there. The argument was about the cake and the scene that was on the cake.
Ideas. People will come up with stupid ideas not to serve whatever.
But rather than dreaming up all these different ideas, let's work with the ones at hand. It's a little bit simpler. It was about the issue of him making a cake, showing two males in the form of a married couple. And he had an issue with that. It didn't say that they couldn't come in and buy a cake. It was just they wanted him to do that. And I agree with the court. They should not be using their biases on this gentleman in the way it was used through the previous court. It was totally wrong.
Before I give it to Brother B, Sean, anything else you'd like to add on before I send it to the next person?
No, you can send it to the next one. I was trying to listen to everything that I was hearing so far.
Okay, Brother B, you got 5 minutes. Take it away.
What up, Brother B?
Hello?
Hello?
Brother B? Okay, I guess he's not there.
Hello?
Now.
Hello?
Hello, Brother B?
Hello?
This is Rima.
Hey,
what's up,
Rima?
What's up?
My apologies.
Yeah, no problem. How y'all doing?
Hi, Rima.
Right. We good over here.
Hi.
Okay, so what
did
it take?
Well, I had something to say about the Constitution, but I think we're way past that. I think Tisha really had addressed that. But now I'm trying to figure out what the issue is with the two males and the cake. I didn't follow the story. Would you guys mind recapping?
Sean, you left the recap.
Well, basically, this happened about a year ago. It was a gay couple that went into the bakery to try and have somebody that owned the bakery bake them a wedding cake. And because the proprietor and the baker, his name is Jack Phillips, he didn't like the idea because to himself, he explained it was against his religious beliefs. He did not want to have their business as far as making them the cake that they asked for. So then the people that went into the bakery then sued, and then this went through the Supreme Court to get to the decision that it was at.
And what was the decision?
The decision was that the baker actually had, although it was a slight passing of the law, basically said that he had the right based on his religious beliefs, that he could deny them that particular request based on that ad for his business. That was what the decision was. I believe it was a 6-2, I think. Was it usually the 7-2 or 6-2, I think.
A 6-2 decision?
Yes.
It's
his business, his religion, his right.
Yes.
For the most part,
okay.
That was the decision that was struck down.
But we don't have no problem with that. We have a problem of repercussions of more future problems ahead with other businesses who might
Absolutely.
Come up with similar.
I wanted to comment on that. And so my comment to that is that people who are black, people who are female, people who are immigrants, people who are homophobic fall into those categories that I just named. And I want those people to understand and know that while they are being homophobic and discriminating against someone else and they feel like that decision is right, when they are discriminated against in that same way for the stigmas associated with their social locators, I need them to be silent, not protest, not seek justice, not seek any type of recourse at all. And that's the message that I would say to those people, for them to understand that is a double-edged sword. So while you're cheering on this decision, understand that the society that we live in is highly discriminatory, and your turn will be next. It's not your turn, your wife's turn, your closest kin's turn, your kid's turn, whoever's turn, and it's going to affect you. And I want you to see that society, this is a universal issue. When decisions like this is made, it does send messages to other business owners that they have the right to discriminate against anyone for any reason because they're a business owner. And with that reflection, you can be on the other end.
Wow.
Well, you know, here's the thing to this. I don't want, as a baker, I don't want anyone coming into me and asking me to make a cake with the characters on top of the cake, with women having sex with animals, or grown-ups having sex with kids.
Whoa,
I don't want that.
Wait a minute. Whoa, I don't think that
nobody
had anything to do with you signing that there.
Wait a minute. Well, hold on. No. You just got through saying it could open up other worms.
That's what she was saying. In a point that she was making in something that you said earlier about gays not teaching your children, what if I'm a teacher. I'm your child's teacher. And I
said
just don't want
openly,
to teach your child.
Openly.
I know.
How do you know that?
Okay, let's say it again.
Gay,
but
though.
my point that I'm making, I'm making a point. It has to do with I'm the teacher. Let's say I'm not gay, but I don't like you because I think you're racist, and I don't want to teach your kid. That's the point that she's making. That it's a double edged sword.
Well, let me give you a response to that too, ma'am.
Yes, please.
Being a racist is not illegal unless you violate someone's civil rights. For whites in Georgia and a couple other states to have all white proms in a private location is not illegal. But in Massachusetts, when they had what was called the Fifth Gay Conference, which was headed by Kevin Jennings, who Obama appointed as the safe school czar, where they bust into this school in Massachusetts, grade elementary school students, and they had workshops. And some of the topics in the workshop was this: should I swallow or spit it out? And also fisting. This was being taught to grade school students. I don't want my child to participate in that.
Okay, I have to give other people time. 909, would you like to add on to that? Then I'll go to Phil.
I would just like to say, I guess that the double-edged sword would come with, I mean, you either have to go, there's a slippery slope, so it has to be one way or the other. And the Supreme Court decided to uphold the religious rights. But,
now
don't get me wrong.
Problem?
Don't get me wrong. I don't want
problem?
Anybody As far as the gay community or LGBTQ community, if it's something that's born inside of them, then that's fine. You know, I who am I to judge? And that's fine. But I myself, as a heterosexual woman or whatever, when I go to purchase something or go for a job or anything else, I don't say, "Hi, nice to meet you. I'm straight or I'm heterosexual." Or, you know, I want you to make me a cake with, all kinds of you know,
all
right, sexual toys on them, you know, to show that I'm straight. And it's like, so that's, for me, it's like, okay, it's your sexual preference. It's like my sexual preference is the opposite sex for me. Their sexual preference is either the same or, you know, whatever. And that's fine. But when we start protecting that group, when there's other groups that need that protection, pretty soon everybody's going to have a group that needs to be protected. When we're all protected already. You know?
Well, some people will argue with you about that, but let me give it to Phil, then I'll give it back to Rima. Phil, would you like to add on to that?
God, you know, I have been listening to this whole show with everything, and I'll put it like this. First of all, in the Constitution, there is the freedom of religion, but at the same time, if I'm a business owner, I don't care what you are, because the bottom line is I'm in business to do one thing, and that's make money. That's what the bottom line is.
Well,
I am running a business to make money. I mean, if you're gay, I'm just saying, I'm here to make money. If you're gay, I don't care. Just, you know what? I'll do what you're asked. Just pay me, you know, for whatever, and that's it. Job is done.
And could I add on to what he said real quick? The First Amendment says Congress shall not respect a religion. Congress shall not abridge freedom of speech. It doesn't say private people can't do it. It says Congress cannot do it.
Okay, Rima?
I think he, the gentleman previous to this guy, I think he hit it on the head when he said it should be about business. If you're a business owner and you're making cakes, people are going to have all types of requests. It shouldn't matter, because it's the same people that preach this Bible stuff against homophobia is the same ones who have their women going down, goggling their balls. It's the same ones who have multiple different women. It's the same ones who have stuff get married. And I'm
sorry.
And
the goggling just threw me off. Okay, sorry.
No one else can see is the same ones that's preaching blasphemy. And like the gentleman said, it's about business. It is about business. And it shouldn't matter what someone is asking you to do unless inside of yourself you that you're a homosexual man who cannot come out in the same way. And so you refuse to make this cake because it rouses up the homophobia inside of you, because you're hating yourself for being a male that cannot come out in the way that same men come out. And I think that's a sociological issue that people need to address personally before they try to condemn publicly.
Okay, we got 10 minutes left. Sean, I'd like to apologize for...
And the
now
baker didn't refuse to sell him a cake, by the way.
It's my time now. I got to take over. Sean, I'd like to apologize. I will answer this question finally. Starting with the ladies. The major topic that Sean and I want to talk about, since we talk about racism and all this illegal stuff, to all the three ladies, can black people be racist towards other black people? Let's start with the 909 caller first. Hello?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't get the question.
Oh, since we talk about racism, do you believe that black people can be racist towards other black people?
Yes. And just what I've seen recently, and I don't really know. I'm not the right person to ask, but from what I've heard, because I don't have any personal experiences knowing friends or anything else like that personally. So, yes, I would say yes.
Okay, Tisha?
I don't think it's racism. I think you mix up racism and being a bigot. It's two different things. And also every race, pardon me, is also, if you want to say racist, or bigoted against each other, because white people, if a white man and a black woman get together, they're racist over that, over their own kind getting with, you know, the other race. So I think it's a difference between racism and being a bigot.
Okay,
I agree.
Rima? Oh. Okay, well, Sean, the floor is all yours.
Oh, you're not going to ask me that question, huh? Okay,
whoa,
you being a bigot.
You
being a bigot.
Wait, how can I be a bigot? Well, no more, I am a bigot, but how do you know I am being a bigot?
Well, can I just say something?
She's leaving me
out
of the conversation.
I've been a bigot for 20 years.
Yeah, all right, so go ahead.
Oh, you want my opinion on that? Given the broad definition of racism, as I keep saying, there's nothing illegal about being a racist, a bigot, discriminating, or segregating, as long as you don't violate someone's civil rights. Blacks can be racist toward other blacks, and they can also be racist toward whites.
Okay. Hot Rod did say, lady, Sean Black, can you chime in, please?
Yes. There are plenty of examples that have been out there that we've seen where we know a lot of black people that are racist towards other black people, whether they're lighter skin, darker skin, whether they are in a different class system, whether they're making a certain amount of money. And we've heard a ton of those expressions, and we've seen certain things that have happened over the years. We've heard coon and all of these other words that have been thrown around, and Sambo, and the real disgusting words within the black community amongst each other when they're talking about other people within a race. And those kinds of things happen on a much more regular basis than we probably either hear about or probably talk about. I think that when we're talking about how we can try and either detect it or try to make sure that it doesn't impede other African Americans or other minorities within their own community to continue to use that mindset to keep others down, that's the harder part. Now, here's my question that I'm going to ask the rest of the panel, just to flip this around, is the Hot Rod like to say, once you get the answers, I change the question. I'm going to flip the question out on you. I'm going to throw this to whoever wants to answer it first. We talked about racism within black communities. Can white people be racist to other white people? And that's something I don't
Absolutely.
Think anyone has ever heard as a question.
Okay, go ahead, Phil. Go ahead, Phil.
Absolutely. But, how many times have I been called a kike or a Jew bastard? We call Italian people guinea worms.
Yeah. How about the Polack jokes?
You're correct. You're correct. I mean,
how many
Polacks
would it take to screw in a light bulb? Yeah,
okay.
How about that?
Okay, apparently you know that one very well.
Hang around me and you see racism. Yes, hang around me and you see racism being directed toward me also, because
I support Donald
Trump.
I've heard the old Polish joke, how do you get a Polish guy out of a tree? You wave to him. I've heard that God knows how many times.
Wow.
Okay, all right.
But it goes both ways. It goes both ways.
Hey, Phil.
All right.
Yeah.
So Rima.
I agree. It's in every background there's going to be that because of the different classes of people as far as economic wise, and just because it's just there. It's an ugly thing, but it's there, and it's unfortunate. But yes, I agree with the gentleman.
Wow. Okay. See, we all agree on something for once. That's the first time on this show.
No, but it's
everybody agrees.
There's all kinds of prejudice and all kinds of racism because let's just say, okay, because of a black American might not like somebody who's from the West Indies or because they have a different accent. I mean, yeah, I've seen it happen. I've heard many.
I've seen one school where the black parents didn't want a Nigerian teaching their kids because he had a heavy accent. And another thing that's racist, too, when you try to say all blacks are the same, or either they vote Democratic. That's offending.
Okay. But overall, is that considered racist or is it bias overall? Is that considered racist
or
bias?
Just being a bigot.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. We have 6 minutes left. My mind is a scramble right now.
Is it racist or is it bias? Name me something that white does to black that's racist, and I can tell you something that black does to black that's the same.
Guys,
so guess what? It has to be racist, right?
Yes. Okay. I'm surprised no one is cursing you out right now about that. But, Rima, does anything you'd like to add on for tonight?
I was going to add on, but not really.
Oh, feel free. Come on. This is your time. Let it out. This is the show where you just let it out.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay. The 909 caller, what's your final thought of everything right now?
I think everybody's right. Let's end it on a good note. We're all in agreement.
Yeah, I know that's why I have no words right now. Okay. All right,
Kato,
what do you like to add on?
Just chilling, man. Just trying to enjoy the night.
Okay, you want to know what? Since I got 5 minutes left, let me change it to this last topic for Tisha.
Oh, you asked me what I want to add on.
No, I don't care what you want now.
No, you threw it.
I figured it. You just hate me.
No, let's be. No, I will never hate you. No, but let's be honest, guys. On a first date with someone, how much should a man should spend on a woman? This is for the three ladies out there. Tisha, know why I'm asking this question. Tisha?
I don't think there should be an amount. I just think he should spend on the first date. And, I mean, it's a date.
Yeah, but should there be a limit?
No, I don't think it should be a limit because he knew what he was going to do when he came on this date. I'm sure he had things planned out, where we're going, or, you know, things like that. I don't know. I don't think it should be an amount.
But should a woman have high expectations on a first date? Like you did back in high school or in college?
That was so high schoolish. I don't. Me. I always walk with my money just in case. So I don't know how to answer that for you with the price and stuff.
Rima,
I think that he should spend whatever is in his budget.
What's going on over here? Everybody's agreeing on something. That's weird.
Right.
Okay,
can you ask
the gentleman? All right, guys. So. Kato, how much should you spend on a first date then?
Hey, whatever cash you have, man, just spend it because you know what? It all depends.
All right, and to the St. Louis guy, what's your thought about that?
Beware of the woman that has a calculator in her purse.
Oh, man.
That was my classic.
We couldn't agree with him. I like that. Why do you say
that? With the ladies of the show on the show, because there should be no expectations, because you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You go with the flow, you have a good time, and you'll know if he's genuine or not. Even if you just go out for a hot dog in the park, you know, and some ice cream.
Just make it a memorable date.
That's all that counts.
Who does that? Hot dog in the park.
Make it memorable. Make it a date that she won't forget.
Do that in the horse and carriage ride. Come on.
Well, even more so, are there any parks anymore? Because apparently they're turning all of these parks into high-rise apartments and buildings, so there's almost no parks to go to now anymore.
Okay. Well, guys.
Well, I was a pilot. I used to fly women to Kentucky late for breakfast on Sunday, so.
Big spender. Ooh, yippee-ki-yay.
Well, I wouldn't have been impressed by that. I would have thought, ooh, this guy's a player. Forget about him.
See, no, I wouldn't.
There's a perception that if a male spends too much money, he's being disingenuous. But if he doesn't spend enough, he's being cheap. So
that's the thing.
I guess you got to strike that balance in between.
But why can't you spend what's in your heart? If you know you're going on a date with this woman and you actually like her, spend what's in your heart. I don't think there should be a price on it.
Like I said, just give a date that she won't forget.
Why do men spend a lot of money on a first date? Trying to impress her, trying to get in bed with her, right? Overall, let's be honest. You know, you may want a fun date, but we spend to get to boom, boom, to get some action. Some men are like that. So that's what I'm asking.
I honestly always had fun first dates, and it was actually genuine. I've never had that approach, thank God. And maybe how you put yourself out there also as a female. So don't put yourself out there like, okay, spend so much money on me and you're going to get sex, because that's what he probably is going to think. So it's also how you put yourself out there. I think have respect on a first date as a lady. Don't we do that anymore? I don't know, I'm just saying.
Y'all going to hear this, man? Listen, look, as a man, I say this. Show her a good time and short, and be respectful of her no matter what.
Right, exactly, right.
Treat her like a lady.
Well, you're
probably get a second date.
Yeah.
Well, Kato, I won't be treating me like a second lady. But, Kato, Tisha, Rima,
so whatever happened
Kato
with sex after marriage?
Yeah, right. Nobody don't do that anymore. guys,
I married my 10-year-old neighborhood sweetheart, and I was with her until she passed away. So don't say it doesn't happen. It does.
It does. My son, it happens to my son. They're Mormon.
All right, guys. We have to go. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank
for
good
coming.
Night.
Thank
good
you
night.
For
good
all.
Night. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Next Monday night, 10:30.
And the pleasure was all yours, my friend.
All yours.
Was it?